You're tuned into Medivas Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have carried the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University, change the world. Changing the world, one voice at a time.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Madiba's Radios, where we connect, inform, and engage. This is The Call Out, and I am Ovui Sananiwakanomchacho, your favorite dose of sugar, but don't take me in too many doses, because you might have diabetes, and we don't have money for medical aid. Today, we have an interesting topic, as we will be talking about the issues of fees must fall, and everything that's been happening around that with NSFAS defunded students. First, I think it's important that we take a look back at our history with this topic of Fees Must Fall. Now, Fees Must Fall was a student-led protest movement that began in mid-October 2015 in South Africa. The goals of the movement were to stop increasing student fees, as well as to increase government funding within university. Protests started in the University of Wits and spread out to the University of Cape Town, to Rhodes University, before rapidly spreading to other universities across the country. Although initially we enjoyed the significant change that it brought, but then it led to a wider public movement, a public sympathy. When the protests started turning violently, the police had to be involved, and it turned into students getting arrested. But that is what South African history has always been about, protesting and making that type of change. Now, we saw in 2015, the protest ended when it was announced by the South African government that there would be no tuition fee increases for 2016. The protest in 2016 began when the South African Minister of Higher Education announced that there would be fee increases capped at 8% for 2017. However, each institution was given the freedom to decide how much their tuition would increase by. In October 2016, the Department of Education estimated that the total cost and property damage due to protests since 2015 had amounted to 600,000, meaning that after all that protest, there was further damage done into institutional infrastructure. But then it was for a good benefit, I think we would all agree, because if you really take a moment to look at it with what's been happening, you have kids who are being defunded, even as to now, 8-10 years later, who are defunded because of the lack of proper funding within school. Now the question becomes, where are we now? What's happening around this issue? Unfortunately, in South Africa, a social compact between the government and the university has led to an inflation-linked fee and increases, with 2016 being the only year without an increase. The Department of Higher Education and Training proposed a 4.23% increase for tuition and a maximum of 6.23% for accommodation in 2022, according to the South African government news agency. Now, you're seeing this, you see that even though there was this protest of Fees Must Fall 8 to 6 years ago, the university's prices are still increasing. That's the topic of today. That's why we're joined by two EFF officials who are going to be taking us through as to like what's been happening with us kids within Nelson Mandela and outside of Nelson Mandela, because we saw with other universities that kids were getting dragged out of their residential areas because they're being defunded. We want to really pick apart this topic and get to know it better so that we can be informed, so that we can see how can we change this environment that we're in, and how can we as people not only be connected and informed and engaged about it, but how can we actually be the change? How can we actually fix it in a way, and what steps can we take? Please, gentlemen, please introduce yourselves. And just tell the audiences that are listening what is your affiliation and what brought you here to the Madiba station today.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for having us. Myself, I'm Maxwell Mgwenya, currently the South Campus Convener of the EFF-YC. I'm in the study of social work in my fourth year currently. And as we have engaged offline, that I was from a community development project where we raised awareness about child protection, because we know that in South Africa there is issues of child violence, child abuse, child exploitation. So this is what we were doing today in my within my discipline. So we are here today with my fellow colleague here, or my fellow comrade, to just clarify some misconceptions that are around the issues of defunding. What are we currently doing ourselves as EFFYC? And then I think we are going to proceed as we are going on with the interview. I just want to give it to my fellow comrade to introduce himself as well.
No, thank you, Program Director. Greetings, my name is Tembiso Mashele, and I'm a member of the EFFYC task team leadership. I'm doing BCom accounting, and I'm in my first year. And I think he's outlined most of the things that we deal with and we are here for today. So, yeah, but ours is just short, is to outline the issues that students are facing and continue to advocate for free and decolonized and quality education for all students here at Nelson Mandela University. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. So I understand that, like, this big topic of defunded students is a very critical point. Why do you think it's important that you come into the show, but rather even you go and do campaigns outside and to actually have this defunded students initiative and campaign be actually heard by government and by people within the school? Why do you think it's so important?
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. No, we have been, we must try to reach out to all platforms of social media to ensure that we provide the correct information to our students, and then they must be aware of the means that we are trying to implement in terms of rectifying the issues that we are currently experiencing. So, not every platform that we have access to, students have access to as well. So that's why we are here today. And then I'm not sure if you'll allow me just to touch on the issues that we've been facing now.
Go ahead. I would love for you to give us a clear understanding as to what you're campaigning for. Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
Sure. So now, currently, students are facing the issue of defunding, which is most of them is from NSFAS beneficiaries. So what NSFAS has done is that it came with the option of for TVET students to apply first, then later on it's university students, for which it's something that has never been done before. Criteria that they are using, or this method that they are using, is creating a crisis for our students. So now what we are advocating for is that this system must be scrapped, or we are actually rejecting it. So what we have actually done is that we have written to our EFFYC convener, the national convener, Sinhlelozi. Most of our listeners and students, I think they are very familiar with him. They've seen his videos from he sits in the portfolio committee, and then where he engages ministers on these issues. So from the national level, that's what we have done. We have written to the convener of the EFFYC to also try to challenge those who have powers on top there. So within the Nelson Mandela University, or within the micro level at Nelson Mandela University, we have engaged with the financial aid and also the NSFAS agent that is available at our financial aid, and then to explore ways or how can we rectify this issue. So what has The current way forward in terms of trying to rectify this issue of defunding is that all the students that have that were defunded due to having double duplicated registration with different institutions, some of them they've applied at prior the window of university of universities, so that they can just submit their details to the financial aid email. They can just search it on Outlook.
So there actually is a solution that's being made. But yeah. Then my question is, what did you actually go to the financial aid and say, and what was that interaction with, and who was there, and how was that interaction like?
Okay. So yeah, so when we go to financial aid, of course we have the staff from financial aid, and was ourselves from the EFFYC. We were from the SRC side. There was a associate deputy president Malwande Mazingisa, who is deployed by the EFFYC, and other colleagues from other political parties and students themselves. Students came out in numbers to be part of the struggle and fight for the issues. Yeah, well, so part of the discussion is that. We were able to realize that this is an issue that is a national issue, and it's an external issue, which is from NSFAS. Yeah, well, so it's not really caused by financial aid, but then we have invited the university to assist us fight this current issue, as we have indicated that we have written to all stakeholders, yeah, well, to invite them to the party. So part of the discussion also it discussed the issues of evictions. Well, how can we deal that with this issue of students being evicted from their accommodation? Because now being defunded means that we're no longer having access to accommodation. So that was the part of discussions, and then part of the resolutions were that students must submit all their details, including your ID number, student number, to financial aid. If it's an issue of accommodation, you must write which residence we are staying in. Because around accommodation, there's an issue of having a duplicated accommodation. So NSFAS now has stopped me paying for your accommodation fees. So you need to submit those details. Then the financial aid will try to engage with the NSFAS, as this is an issue that is external. And then we have invited the university to assist us. Fight us.
So I have a question for the other gentleman. It seems that the as you said, that the external issue here is NSFAS, that maybe the university is maybe also a victim of NSFAS, not to the same level of degree that students are, because and we don't want to victimize, but the students are the ones who are being affected by this at a much higher pace. Now my question is, you said in one of your portfolios, if I'm not mistaken, that you want NSFAS to be dismantled, and that the government give money directly into the universities. So my question is, how do you see that would happen, and also what do you think the effect of that happening would be? Because if you're removing NSFAS as a whole institution, there would be a big gap, and now we're taking money straight from the government into the university. How do you think that would benefit the students of South Africa as at large, not just at Nelson Mandela University?
No, I think I'd like to quote the CIC, Julius Malema, on this one. Mm-hmm. He's outlined it perfectly, saying that the problem with NSFAS is that there are three institutions now. It's the government, it's NSFAS, it's Izaga and Intelli, and then it's the university. Mm. So that's where we find this mismanagement of funds going around. There's too many people holding the money. So when we scrap NSFAS, it's like a private parent paying the tuition for their student, for their child or their student. We pay it directly to the university, and the university knows students. They know everything about the students. So the details and the finances will be dealt with the university. And because we're going to be dealing with the university directly, we can hold them accountable directly if ever there are issues like this. Right now, like he outlined, it's an external issue. We can't go and march to NSFAS, but if it's the university, we can be able to hold them accountable as student representatives and be able to deal with matters swiftly. Of course, now it's very painful that this happened during the time of exams. Now, students are hungry. Students are scared of being evicted of residences. Mm. And when a crisis like this, you asked us why we are here. We are trying to spread as much awareness as we can about the issue, because it's a very big issue. Students are hungry. Students are scared, and it's a very bad time for this to be happening. So I think that's the thing of NSFAS.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to touch also that in this midst of being defunded and being unfunded, the EFFYC has been running a campaign of a study with fighter, study number fighter. So we were able to reach close to 1,000, if not more, 1,000 students in terms of providing a coffee and a sandwich while they are studying, also providing some study snacks to also encourage students in terms of remaining steadfast in the pursuit of academic excellence. Thank you.
So, also, I want to really dissect some of the things that you said now, and also in the memorandum that you sent to these different institutions within the university. First, you said that you went to the VC, the chair of council, Judge Dambuza, if I'm not mistaken, who you contacted to approach in order to also assist in this program that you're trying to campaign for. Now, were there any responses to these things, and also what were the responses that were said? And if not, what is your way forward now?
Okay, thank you very much. We wrote a letter to the Vice Chancellor on the 31st of May, and then in that letter we outlined all the issues that are affecting students, all the issues that are accompanying the issue of defunding. So within that letter we also touch on issues that the Vice Chancellor must delegate to other staff members or other stakeholders to ensure that we support students holistically. So part of that letter we also mentioned that the DVC of Teaching and Learning must intervene in terms of maybe can fund the program of Meal a Day in order to ensure that students, while by waiting for this issue to be corrected of the funding, they are able to have access to food. So the DVC of Teaching and Learning have asked that she must provide at least funding, but if it's not yet received a response from her office or from the office of the Vice Chancellor, but the support that we have received is the one from student governance, because student governance is that's our space. And then I think under the office of the DVC's support and operations, we have not yet received the formal communications, but we have engaged with some of the staff members informally. And then we were happy to be able to suspend the issue of shuttle cards, because we know that shuttle cards it's more like a way of excluding students from having access to transport and coming to the university to write their exams. So we saw that this the issue of the funding was bringing a lot of stress to our students, and students were not going to be able to access their exam facilities and everything like that. So we have managed to register that victory of suspending shuttles. And then so also under the office of the Dean of Students, we have not yet received any formal communication, but then we've seen that there's progress, maybe somehow we're just waiting for the formal communication, because there's no student that was reported to have been evicted, because we have urged the office of the dean not to ensure that no student is evicted. All students must be accommodated in their residences while this issue is corrected.
I think that's very important. Just last two closing questions, gentlemen, that I would like to also both hear from you with this. Seeing that the state and the whole country is where it's at now, post FISMA's fall and everything that's been happening, do you think that the country needs another revolution of FISMA's fall initiative? Do you think that that's where we want to go? Do we want to say no more fees at all in universities? Or what is your perspective on that?
No, for this one, I think I've outlined it very much when I started and introduced myself. What we advocate for is for free, decolonized, and quality education for all students in South Africa. There shouldn't be an issue of fees. That shouldn't be a question. So, of course, the fees must fall didn't get us there, but it was a step forward in the right direction. All of the revolutions were a step forward in the right direction, and I believe that our generation has a responsibility to take it forward, to move it forward, to break down the system that marginalizes black people, that marginalizes the poor, and keeps us out of getting quality education. So the step forward for us, I'd like to see when everything is done is that this free education for all students is accessible for all students everywhere across the world or across South Africa and all the corners of South Africa. So, yeah, I think that sums it up and where we believe or our motive is for doing what we are doing.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Just to top it up as well. There's a fellow called Franz Fanon who says that each and every generation must identify their struggle and then ensure that they conquer that struggle. So we have seen that over the history of South Africa, it's only the young people that has been fighting for human rights, for fighting for a dignified way of living, especially within the education sector. So now we can just note back from 1976, then came now close, we have Fees Must Fall. So ourselves now, we must just take it a step further to say now, how do now I challenge these systematic inequalities? And then I think it's a mandate that the youth actually must identify, or it must be the revolutionary mandate that the youth of today identifies and try to challenge the system.
And I like the fact that you are agreeing with one another of the need of a revolution and a united youth. But the question now becomes, I know you're here as a capacity of the EFF. Now, there are other political parties within Nelson Mandela University. Now, my question is, you cannot handle a magnitude issue of this much alone as one party. Now, do you think that it's important that you as the EFFYC collude with other parties within the Nelson Mandela University in order to solve this issue? Or are you going to stand firm in saying that it's an issue that you want to take on your own?
No, I think it's important to note that we do not bring ourselves down to the color of our shirts. This isn't an issue about the color of the shirt that we are wearing. It's an issue about all students.
Mm.
So it's a color. We need a solidified front. It doesn't need an individual party or a group of people only working forward. It needs us all to understand that in the end, we are doing this for all of us. So of course, if given the opportunity, we'll collaborate with as many as we can, as long as it pushes the same mandate that we're pushing for free, decolonized, and quality education for all.
Mm.
So and I believe that my colleague here has something to show you. We are in collaboration with the SASELF. It's a union that pushes for free education, and of course those are the examples of how we do not limit ourselves only to the color of our party, and we are steadfast and we are determined to push forward regardless of what might happen. So this isn't a fight for the EFF alone. It's a fight for all students.
Mm.
Regardless of whatever party you might support, at the end of the day, it all affects us. So it needs a unified front, and yeah, that's just it.
Yeah, of course. My colleague has just touched on also the issue of collectivism. To stand in solidarity together, it is very important at this juncture, because now we ourselves as Africans, we value the value of Ubuntu. Even our university values Ubuntu, which means that we coexist. So you must not live comfortably while your neighbor or your roommate is starving, when we are going to maybe say is it that we are going to financial aid or wherever where we are going to demand certain issues to be rectified, and then you know you feel comfortable to sleep. So we demand that students, or we encourage students, that you must come and be in solidarity, either you are affected or not. Yeah, but also just to touch on the matter of other organizations that are assisting us. Yeah, well, for instance, there's an organization called SAUSA. It has never been that productive. It's more of like it acts as a national leadership of students. So it's not really affected with party politics or EFF or whatever, or SASCO or whatever. So it's more of like an SRC of all students in South Africa.
Mm.
So it has been quiet for the longest time, and then we saw that we must find the alternative. So then our alternative alternative now towards working or towards correcting those issues. It's a new organization called South African Student Federation. Of course, we're not here to campaign for any organization, but it's just knowledge that we're sharing, it's just some information that we are sharing. So this organization, it's a... Okay.
Sure.
Oh, okay, sorry. So yeah, so it's an organization that ought to ensure that it fulfills the mandate of students. For instance, currently we have the national issues where we have indicated the issue of defunding and also unfunded students, a national issue. So we expect all powers that are there, especially those that represent students, to play a major role in terms of correcting all these issues. Yeah, well, so then that organization that was established by the government is not progressive anymore. And then we saw that, rather we opt for other organization like the South African. Yeah.
Thank you. That was the EFFYC who joined us on today's show to just help us be clarified and be up to date on the issue of defunded students within and around campus. I'm pretty sure we'll be having more comments and more guests from other parties and other council members within our schools to talk about this issue furthermore, and the issues of top up and accommodation finances in the further shows. But right now, we're going to hear from one of our viewers who is also affected by this issue of defunded students, who is somewhat of who is on the receiving end of what happened.
Good day. I am Emihle Matomela, and I am continuing my studies at Nelson Mandela University. I was defunded by NSFAS during April or May. I can't actively recall right now. But how it has affected me is emotionally and financially, of course. And I am really lucky because of how, like, I got a merit bursary from the school in the beginning of the year. So they covered my registration fees. I don't know how it works for other people who do not get the merit bursary. But, like, honestly, I really feel for them because, like, being or wanting to study, being able to study and wanting to study is very, very detrimental to how, because if I want to study, I want to be granted the opportunity to study without worrying about my finances and also having to worry about my exams and passing. So I really can't explain how other people feel, but, like, from what I can understand is, honestly, they might be feeling very defeated right now, very, very hurt by the situation that they have been put in. Honestly, the person that I blame or the institution that I blame is the school. There are children out there studying, continuing their studies with NSFAS, being funded with NSFAS, right? And they're honestly continuing with their studies while they applied late, because the email that we all received, I think, is saying that we applied late, right? So, like, there are children within the institution right now. My friend is one of them who is currently being funded but she also applied at the same period that I did. So it's really disappointing and unfair for us. So it's just very emotional. Honestly, that's the only thing that I have seen right now that is really concerning about the being defunded situation. It's just that, like, other students are being funded and actively going to school, which is good, but it's also unfair to the students that have been defunded without any valuable reason, because It's just emotional.
All right. Thank you so much for that comment. I think it's very important that we actually talk about these issues that are happening. We have to be a generation that seeks not to just say, oh, the revolution was already done. We can't be the revolution. Yes, we can be the revolution. We can be the change. If we actually voice our opinions out and if you actually seek for that change, please make sure to comment down below and follow us on Madiba's Radio on Instagram, where we connect, inform, and engage to make sure that you are up to date with everything that's happening in the world around you. And I have been Ovi Sananwagono Mchacho on today's call out. I'll make sure that Karabo is back next week. She's dealing with exams and everything that's been happening. Please make sure to tune in next week too, where we'll be discussing further politics that's happening in the world around you. Be informed, be well engaged, and have a good exam season. Peace.
What's up, it's Coolie Chana.
How many more licks will it take till I get to this the nigga? Cause I've been at it since the past 18.
Yo, this is your boy Ricky Rich.
Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, I love a Zulu girl. Yeah, I love a Zulu girl. Yeah, I say, yeah.
Yo, what up, this is Questa. Lick off.
All the stars. All the hits. This is Madiba's Radio.
What's good, everyone? Welcome to another yet episode of Extra Time right here on Madiba's Radio, where we connect. Well, I said Madiba's Radio. It's actually Madiba's podcast now. My name is Samgele Kelly, and I'm very excited to be here this afternoon with the amazing co-host also, Tiamo and Bongozi. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
How are you guys doing?
We're good, and you, Sam?
I'm good. Tiamo, are you doing good?
Exams, but besides exams, I'm good.
Nah.
Yeah.
Sports, everything, how is it going?
Everything is good on sports. We are just here to give our listeners a very good show today, because we have got a very, very, very interesting show today.
Yeah.
It's Madiba's podcast. We all know we connect, inform, and we engage.
Yeah.
Hoping we're going to have a good show together with Tiam and also you.
Definitely going to have great conversations right here regarding all the sports. But before we start, I have a very interesting question for you guys, ne?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys ready to hear what question I have?
Yes, will I?
So the question is, this is like an icebreaker type of thing, right?
Okay.
So if you could play any sport professionally, what sport would you play?
For me, it's very easy. I'll play soccer, football.
Football?
Yeah, yeah.
TMO?
A basketball.
Ne?
Yeah. Why?
Basketball.
Yeah, it's very easy. Guys, it's
I
not
also
want
to play basketball. I've been told that I'm too short to play basketball.
No, you can be a point guard, though.
I'm also looking at that school, Tiamo. She's short, but how can you...
Tiamo, you can make it. I can also do it.
You can also do it. You can play point guard. Point guard, it's like short people.
Actually.
So you see?
No, I hear you guys.
So next time, when you guys see me, I'll be wearing those baggy clothes. And
serious.
I'd like to see you.
And actually playing basketball. Today we have some exciting news lined up, or we're going to have amazing conversations also regarding regarding soccer news. We also have your campus league news and also everything that's happening in and out of the campus right here at Nelson Mandela University. But kicking it off, you remember that the Campus Sports League, which takes place every Sundays, is currently on break, and we will be back next semester. How are you guys feeling about that? I know basketball is also part of Campus Sports League now.
Yeah.
Are the ladies also playing? Are you playing?
Am I playing? No, yeah. I'm not playing.
You're not playing?
I'm not playing.
You're not playing basketball yet?
I used to play, but uh-huh. I stopped. Yeah, I stopped.
And then football side, how has it been?
Yo, it's been a very good season so far. So good for the NMU Campus League.
Mm-hmm.
For both Division A and Division B. Division A, Smart FC are number one at the moment.
How's your team going? What's your team?
My team is Trocadero. I'm playing for Trocadero.
How is it playing? How's your team playing?
At the moment, the performance wise is not good. Number
13
on
the team.
Yeah, I'm part of the team. As I'm saying that our performance really needs to improve. But as a team, we'll get there.
What
at the moment, we are number 13. At the moment, the season is is closed for now, but we'll come back strong. And next semester, we're having new signings that are coming onto the team, so everything's gonna be fine. I can promise you, all the Trokas fans out there, that the team will be back.
We'll be looking out.
We're gonna be looking out because we need to see you guys. We have this on record.
Yeah, we have this on record.
We want to see how you guys are gonna be playing. That's of course the Campus Sports League. What else do we have, guys, today?
Okay, we also have CAF Champions League. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about CAF Champions League results.
How was it? Did you watch the game?
I do. I watched the game. CAF Champions League final, Pyramids versus Mamelodi Sundowns. This was a very tactical game. Second leg of the final of UEFA CAF Champions League. I mean, so...
I know a lot of people were looking forward to Mamelodi Sundowns actually winning.
South Africans also wished Mamelodi Sundowns could have won the match. We feel like, but I feel like Coach Cardoso could have introduced Mshishi on this.
Was Mshishi not playing?
He was on the bench, unfortunately,
for the full game.
Why?
He was benched. I really don't know. Maybe the Mshishi
Temba's one and egg.
Yeah, we're talking about some
Mshishi. Is Temba Zwane, by the way.
I know Temba Zwane. If you guys say Temba Zwane,
that's Mshishi. That's his name. So Mshishi wasn't playing.
Yeah, he was on the bench for the whole match. But I do hope if the coach had the guts to introduce him on the match, he was going to be different from Mamelodi Sundowns. Especially they needed this kind of a player in this kind of a match. It was CAF Champions League second leg semi-final. You know the team is disadvantaged because in the first leg they drew here in Pretoria 1-1. So Mamelodi Sundowns needed almost two goals to make sure that they
win.
But when they were playing in Cairo, it was Pyramids who just got those two goals fast, and then they were just crowned champions like that. But
I mean, there were also other amazing players that were playing.
Yes.
How was Mudau Kuliso's performance?
Always exceptional. They were so exceptional, especially in the middle of the park. There was Marcelo Allende, there was Teboho Mokoena. So I think performance-wise, Mamelodi Sundowns, they were very impressive, but it was not their day on the day. And this year, it's a year of breaking the case for the champions. If you're going to look, Pyramids FC was their first ever Champions League. So this year, it's been all the story of the season in the football world. So it was 2025, they say it was a year of breaking the case. Yeah.
So wrapping up, basically, what just been discussed, Pyramids have won the CAF Champions League for the first time ever after beating Mamelodi Sundowns 2-1 in the second leg of the final show down in Cairo, in Egypt. The result secured a 3-2 aggregate victory and means the Egyptians' side have qualified for both the FIFA Intercontinental Cup 2025 and the FIFA Club World Cup 2029. South African champions Mamelodi Sundowns, meanwhile, will switch their attention to the FIFA Club World Cup in 2025. The campaign begins on the 18th of June when they face the Alson HD in Orlando, Florida, in the United States of America. The match starts at 12 midnight. It's not really a bad outcome for Mamelodi Sundowns because they still get to play on the 18th of June.
Of course.
But 12 midnight?
It's time zone.
Time zone.
I know for sure there will be people up ready to watch the game. Yeah. I know Bonkos is definitely going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Of course.
Almost the whole of South Africa, actually. Because I know it happened before. I think during the, was it World Cup? If not the rugby, could be soccer also, where people actually stay up to watch the game.
I think it was the World Cup where they were playing in the World Cup, so the time zones were clashing. We have to wait and watch our girls. We will never.
You have to. Speaking of girls, football also. I know one of my friends who plays for the women box, they're traveling to Madagascar. Wow. They'll be playing I'm not sure which championship they're playing, but they will be playing on the 7th of June, the 11th, and the 14th, I think. Yeah. So if you are also interested in that, do check out the Women Box. I'm very excited to also, their games are also going to be airing. So can't wait to see what that brings for us.
I think I should switch to football because people are traveling.
Yeah,
football and rugby.
I need to be traveling.
Really?
Yeah. I need to be traveling.
I mean, any sport, it's really a matter of, you know, what division or whatever that you're playing for. There are a lot of opportunities in playing sport. Indeed. That's why I also want to play sport now.
Come and play football. Yeah.
Maybe you guys can sign me. We talk at there.
Yeah, maybe you can have us. Who knows?
Do you guys have the quarterfinal results for the United Rugby Champions, the URC?
Yes, yes. I think Tiamo will give us the results for United Rugby Championship for 2 days.
So the quarterfinals for the United Rugby Championship, we have Glasgow Warriors 36 and then 18 Stormers, and then we have Bulls 42, then 33 Edinburgh, and then we have Leinster 33 and then 21 Scarlets, and then we have Sharks 24 and 24 Munster. So the Sharks won on a penalty shootout of 6-5.
It was a very tough game when Charles played the draw, the 2024.
Sam, did you watch the match?
I did. It was in Durban.
And Rafi.
I definitely
will never
did.
Go wrong.
Who do I know from the Sharks? That is him.
Siya Kolisi.
Oh, yeah.
Magazola Mampimpi.
Magazola, there's Faiz Mbatha.
There are a lot of players.
It was a very beautiful game. I wish I was in Durban when this game played. I was very disappointed in Stormers, actually, because they're such a good team.
No.
So losing the quarterfinal to Glasgow was just...
So you hope I'm shocked. For South African semi-final derby, something like
type
that.
Type of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we do have a South African derby in the semis. I think the Bulls versus Sharks. We have.
So the upcoming semi-final fixtures is Leinster versus Glasgow Warriors at the Aviva Stadium in Ireland on Saturday, the 7th of June. That is 3:45. I'm very excited for that. So Saturday, it's me and rugby.
I know you, Sam. I know you.
You and rugby.
Saturday, it's me and rugby. And also the same day is going to be Bulls versus Sharks at the Loftus, the Firstfield in Pretoria on Saturday, 7th June at 18. So it's one game after the other. So I'll finish this game and watch the other game. I am ready.
I know I would have won here if I was that side.
Springbok side. Our beloved Springboks return to test match rugby this month as they open their season with a fixture against Barbarians on the 28th of June on Saturday, set to take place at the DHL Stadium in Cape Town. Tickets are still... Are there still tickets?
There are still.
There are some people who don't want the tickets anymore and they can sell it for you.
But like, at what rate is my question.
We can negotiate.
Do you have a ticket? I don't have a ticket.
My housemate has one.
Really?
Yes.
For which game? The PE game?
Yes.
How much did you buy it for?
400.
Really?
400. Yes.
400.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
And how much is she selling it for?
She's not selling it yet.
Oh, she's not.
I need to convince her.
I didn't buy a ticket. That's very unfortunate. But maybe I will get a ticket. I just need to be sure which one I want to watch, actually.
Indeed. Yeah. We have to encourage all the Springbok supporters in Cape Town. They have to just go there in numbers and support our boys.
I trust Cape Town.
Barbarians. I think they will go all out there and support our boys.
And it's on the 28th of June.
It's on the 28th of June. So
maybe if I'd get it, Cape Town tickets.
Let's go there and support our boys, Springboks.
If anyone is selling their tickets.
Just say it. Anyone is selling the ticket, me and Sam, we are available, guys.
I need those tickets, guys.
Yes, we can negotiate.
Definitely. So the UEFA Champions League final, this past, was it weekend?
Yeah, this was past weekend.
Yeah, it was the past weekend.
Yes. We have the UEFA Champions League final where PSG look horns with Inter Milan in Munich on Saturday evening, actually. So the suffering only makes it sweeter, and how PSG had suffered in the Champions League after the Qatar Sports investment took over of 2011. Before the season, it had been 12 consecutive qualifications for the knockout rounds and 12 assorted sets of heartbreak for PSG. Paris Saint-Germain.
Saint-Germain.
Yes.
Saint-Germain.
Yeah. On Saturday, 31st of May, the franchise turned their fortunes around in spectacular fashion, clinching their first ever Champions League title in the hands of Inter Milan. 5-0, guys. So PSG just bought.
Yeah, I know. They were murdering that team.
You know what I asked him? I was like, who's going to win the Ballon d'Or?
And then what did he say?
He was like, Ousmane
Dembele. Like, he deserved it. He won the Champions League. Like, in Ballon d'Or, we were counting individual trophies.
Mm.
And Dembele won the Champions League.
Do you think he's going to win it, though?
I think so. He deserved it. Performance-wise, trophy-wise, I think my vote will be on Dembele for me.
If we're counting the thingy, the trophies, right, why Vinicius didn't win? It was Rodrigo.
Last year?
Yes.
I was really shocked about this decision.
Did you think he was going to win?
Vinicius really deserved it last year, but it changed on the following day when there was the I mean, like, also le Ballon d'Or, like, question, would say Rodri will be the winner for a Ballon d'Or. So these things is yenzeka. Yeah, so
next season for Champions League, who do you think is going to take the UEFA?
Real Madrid.
Oh, wow.
Hala Madrid. This side, why Madrid?
No, yeah. You guys are Real Madrid.
We are Madrid. Thank you. This side. Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid. You are
Barca.
I'm Barcelona, guys.
You're alone with him.
So speaking of finals, what are you guys supporting in the Premier League?
I'm an Arsenal fan. The Gunners all the way. I'm an Arsenal fan.
You just look like a Manchester United supporter.
Really?
The losing team.
It's City, actually, not Manchester United.
What went down, guys, this past weekend on the Premier League final? There were a lot of finals happening, Jay, around the championships and whatnot. And I know with Premier League, a lot of people were complaining, saying that it was such a boring game, they really wish the game was not even aired.
Yeah, of course, there were the final matches for Premier League, Barclays Premier League over the weekend. They were playing the last match. We all know that Liverpool are already the crown champions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just...
Not Arsenal, Liverpool.
I hope you
get that.
Yeah.
It's
the champions are Liverpool, and congratulations to Liverpool for winning the...
That doesn't sound genuine. That doesn't sound...
No, they really deserve the league. They really played all the season, all out. So I think when we are being realistic, Liverpool really deserve to win that.
Are you not hurt?
I'm hurt because I'm an Arsenal fan, but we have to give credit when it's true. The Liverpool deserve it.
Okay.
But with you guys, it's always that thing. You're at the top and then you go low. When you're supposed to reach number one.
What number did Arsenal finish the...
We are number two.
Okay, not bad.
Not bad, though.
Well. I'm sure Manchester United is there by number...
Yeah, number
6, 7. They're probably there. It's giving Kaiser Chiefs not making top 8. I'm not bashing my team. Kaiser Chiefs is my team.
At least it's your team.
Kaiser Chiefs is my team. Bafana Bafana will also be playing both their matches at Peter Mokaba Stadium in Polokwane, Limpopo. The first match takes place on Friday, the 6th of June, at 7:30 against Tanzania. And the second match is against Mozambique on the 10th of June at 7:30. Yes. Really looking forward to this.
Yes. Indeed, we are looking forward in this friendly match. I also have the squad.
Okay.
Really?
Yes, yeah, I also have the squad here that Coach Hugo Bros announced as his final 20-man squad that will be facing the Mozambicans and the Tanzanian in this upcoming friendlies. Goalkeepers, we have Ronaldo Lenya of Skokuni United. We have Ricardo Goss of SuperSport United. We have Sipo Chaine of Orlando Pirates.
Wait, who's the second one?
Ricardo Goss.
Okay.
Yeah, Ricardo Goss from SuperSport United. Number 3, Sipo Chaine from Orlando Pirates. Defenders, we've got Sydney Mobi from SuperSport United. Samu Gelo Kabin, all the way from Ebron Seeds from Enowe.
We have Kosinathi Sibisi from Orlando Pirates, Thabo Umaruisane from Stellenbosch, Khulumani Ndamane from Chess Galaxy, Mbekezele Mbokazi from Orlando Pirates, Jeno van Rooyen from Orlando Pirates, Fast Fazadin from Stellenbosch, and our midfielders will be like this: Luke Lerox, Talent Mbata from Orlando Pirates, Ndumelelo Maphangule from Polokwane City, Simphiwe Selepe from Orlando Pirates. Simphiwe Selepe got his first call up in international level. Like this, the story for this boy is just, it's encouraged me. Mm-hmm. Like the boy got his first debut on Orlando Pirates during season Pela nje. And then he got a goal against AmaZulu, and then Coach Kopros just named him on his first Bafana.
So this is like his biggest debut.
Biggest debut. This is his first international collab for Bafana Bafana. So this,
and I'm glad it's friendlies, so he can also showcase himself, you know.
Yes, indeed. So the forwards, we have Aswin Apolis of Polokwane City, Patrick Masongai, Orlando Pirates, Ashley Kobido, Rebohile Mufukeng, but in Kosema 2K.
Of course.
Tabang Moremi, Yanela Mbutuma, Muhau Nkota, they are both of Orlando Pirates, Sinotolo Kwaeba of Chippa United. This is their full squad of Bafana Bafana that will be playing against Mozambique as well as Tanzania.
This is all happening on the 6th of June at 7:30. I know the whole country is also going to be watching Bafana Bafana on this day. Yeah. And on the 10th of June is also against Mozambique.
Yes.
Are you going to be watching, Tim?
Yes. I'm not writing, so.
We have to watch the boys.
Of course.
You're still tuned into Madiba's podcast right here on with Extra Time with myself, Samgele Tele, and Tiamo.
Hi, guys.
And Bongi Nkosi.
Yeah.
Very exciting. The USA Netball. You know, guys, there's something there with campus sport that I like so much.
Yes.
Because I get to watch young players from our campus playing. And I get to see so much potential. You know, it's like, if this person would be playing for Bafana Bafana, you know,
what you are saying is very important.
Yeah.
We've got so much talent in our campus league sports.
We do, in every sport.
I just so wish, in my wish is, if we can have scouts.
Yeah.
If we can have scouts in our league, so they can select players
for big
things. Yeah, same. So you are making a great point there.
Don't they do that with netball?
They do with all the sport codes.
Okay.
It just doesn't happen regularly, or players don't know that it is happening.
Oh.
So I know for rugby, for instance, Varsity Shield is a big league.
Yes.
It's a big tournament in and across South Africa.
Yes.
So what happens is, to play for Varsity Shield, they scout Kui Campus League.
Okay.
So some players who played for Varsity Shield were actually scouted at, I actually know a few that were scouted at the Campus Sports League. It's actually very amazing, you know, to be scouted at a
Campus League
and now play.
Varsity Shield, that's very good.
Nice.
Yeah. So the USAs are also going to be kicking off, and netball is hosting on the 30th of June till the 4th of July at the NMU South Campus Netball Court. I will be here. So I'm going quick home and then have to rush back for these.
I'll be at home, online during this game. 30th of June to 4th of July. I'll be at home.
I'll be here for you guys. Don't worry.
Please update us. Take videos.
Don't worry. I'll be here for you guys.
Update us. Take videos.
I know that other sport codes are also traveling to Pretoria. I know rugby, of course.
Yeah.
You guys are going to bash me for rugby now.
I do have a housemate who plays rugby, so she told me.
Yeah, they're traveling to Pretoria.
And then basketball is going to Vets. Vets.
So most people are in the Gauteng provinces.
Where I can attend. At least there's something I can do, guys.
Are you going to Pretoria? So
yeah,
you should go support our
team. Yeah, I'm going to support.
Yeah, I will say to us.
Please do, guys. So, I'll be here standing in solidarity for our netball team.
Yeah.
Bongo say I don't know what's going to use it. I don't know what will be going to KZN. The Telkom Netball League, the power week 2 of the 2025 Telkom Netball League will take place at Sun City Northwest. All matches will be played at the Sun City Sun Park on the 13th till the 17th of June. It's a very sporty season, very sporty month. A lot is happening. Am I missing out on anything?
Yeah, I mean, I will always update you guys. It's because it's doing football wise. We have an Kosafa Cup that is coming on.
Kosafa?
Yes, Kosafa Cup is starting actually today.
Ah, yeah. Is it ladies?
For boys, Bafana Bafana.
It's Bafana Bafana. Mm. I remember Banyana Banyana was here last year and they were playing. I think they played against Seychelles, and it was aired on Super Sport. Yeah, so I actually love Kosafa.
Kosafa Cup. So yeah, it's beginning today for
Bafana Bafana.
Bafana Bafana.
What time? Do you know what time they play? Maybe
3:30. I think they are playing against Mozambique, if I'm not mistaken, today against they are starting.
The where is it happening? Today. Joburg.
It is. I'm not sure.
It's probably in Joburg.
Yeah, but I think it's in Joburg. But yeah, the competition is starting to the Kosovo Cup.
I also enjoy the ladies. I remember when they were here in PE, Shamil, I came to all the games.
Yeah, and also Banyana Banyana was playing in a 3-series cup. Yeah, against Botswana and Zambia, and they were playing yesterday. They won against Zambia 3-1.
Wait, did you just say we just beat Zambia?
Yeah, and they were champions.
My Zambian friends, let's talk.
Banyana Banyana is big, guys. Bafana Bafana. In fact, our football teams are
improving.
And I think all the sports codes in South Africa at large, you know, have been doing quite well. The rugby, everything. They're just making us proud, man. They are just making us proud.
What I can say, we all need that for sports, which is cool in South Africa. If our sport is on that level, highest level, I think the sport will flourish and will become on a very good thing for a youth
for the country,
focus more on sports and focus more on your studies. So sports and studies isn't
it bring us together as a country also. From only, our side, Raja,
they only say that it's not DNA, it's RSA.
It's just RSA.
just RSA.
From our side, Raji on Extra Time on Madiba's podcast. I've had an amazing time.
Bonkosi Msomi, Lona, Begumnani kakhulu ukuhlala nani Madiba's podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. We had a nice show with Sam and Chayomi. Thank you.
Tiamo. I thought you guys have a way of chai chai or whatever.
It
could be our thing. It
can be our thing.
Chai chai. Yeah.
It can be our thing.
From my side, Samgile Kala had an amazing time.
Yes,
nice being with you.
It was very nice. Such an amazing time. And all the sports that are going to be happening in the upcoming weeks and upcoming days also, right here in South Africa, playing our other teams, also playing internationally. All the best to all our teams that are going to be playing big games in the upcoming weeks. Till next week.
Siyabonga.
Thank you.
The best youth station in the Bay. Madiba's Radio.